I'm going to talk about friendship today. It's been said if you want to have a stable friendship, you should get a horse. Friendship. Do you know what friendship between punctuation is? It's camaraderie. They don't get better. The best vitamin for friendship is B1. And a mark of true friendship is this. When you walk into a house and the Wi-Fi connects to your phone automatically. We're living today in what we hope is the end of a pandemic. And one of the lessons we've learned over the past 12 months is that people are increasingly lonely. Although often surrounded by people and having access to one another through social media, through Zoom calls and our cell phones, we live in a society of loneliness. Everyone, from little children to aging seniors, experience feelings of isolation, rejection, and seclusion. Feelings which have only grown over the past year. We seem to have lots of connections, but few real friends. And we're frankly quite confused about friendship. Social media has added to that confusion. What exactly is a friend? Whereas in the past, most were happy to count just a few individuals as friends, now social media counts our friends for us and publicizes how many friends you have. It tells you how you rank on the friendship meter. Somehow, being able to get masses of people to befriend us on social media has become a model of success. If enough people want to know what you had for breakfast, you've got lots of friends. But still, we are lonely. We have forgotten the words of Proverbs 18:24, which says, "A person of too many friends comes to ruin." But still, users of social media long for more of what they call friends. I suppose we've muddied the difference between someone who is willing to read what we have posted, or more likely reposted. We've confused that with those who actually want to interact with us on a regular basis, on a personal basis. So we befriend and unfriend in a way which shows that we are no friend at all. So what makes a true friend? What are the characteristics of true, genuine friendships which we as humans long and need? The sage of Israel gives us three characteristics of great friendships. Friendships which are worthy of pursuing, friendships which will last. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Great friends are faithful. They love at all times. It's easy to associate with someone when everything's going well, when the dice are hitting the right numbers. It's easy to be what is called a fair-weather friend. A fair-weather friend is someone who is a good friend when it's easy to be one and who stops being one when you're having problems. We all know such people. They're all buddy-buddy when asking you to help them, but nowhere to be found when you need help. Frankly, nobody longs for fair-weather friends. What we long for and what we need are friends who will love at all times. when they see our warts and when they see our good side, if we have one. Irma Bombeck said this about good friends. A good friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg, even though you're a little cracked. They stick with you at all times. Great friends are faithful. There's nothing quite as special as a good friend. A good friend is one with whom you can talk about anything. You know that they'll listen. You know that if you shed tears, they're not going to run away. You know if you reveal your heart to them, they will listen to you. They will listen to the whole story, and they won't make quick judgments. They will make time for you. They won't keep looking at their watch thinking, can we get out of here? A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. The point here is that your family members are supposed to stick with you. It's kind of their job. It's a travesty when families separate and refuse to talk to one another. But a friend is a person who makes the choice to be loyal, who makes the choice to stick with you. They take the time to know who you really are, warts and all, and they do not walk away. You can offend a true friend, and they stay friends. A true friend is one who remains with you when everyone else disappears. A true friend is one whom you can vent, with whom you can vent and not have the other person think less of you. They're constantly thinking the best. They understand your heart, and what you do, no matter how foolish, does not change what they know to be true. A true friend is faithful. These are the people you could call in the middle of the night, and they'll come and find you. Your friends are those who rally around you in a time of crisis. The one thing we all want from a friend is someone who is reliable, someone we can depend on. It's humorous and it's not meant to be serious, but friends help you move. True friends help you move bodies. They don't ask questions. A true friend is who you call when you wake up in the morning and your spouse is gone. You can tell a true friend by the fact that they'll be there for you. They'll drop everything. A true friend is one who knows that when you make a fool of yourself, you didn't do a permanent job. Great friends are faithful. Proverbs 19:22. What is desired in a man is steadfast love. Great friends can be counted upon. And such friends don't advertise themselves. They don't proclaim their faithfulness. They are just faithful. Solomon reminds us in Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Faithful friends don't advertise the fact of their faithfulness. Faithful friends sort of grow on you, and they can last a lifetime. Solomon understood this when he admonished us, do not forsake your friend or your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. They like you for who you are, and they lift your spirits. Solomon says, the sweet smell of incense can make you feel good, but true friendship is better still. That's Proverbs 27:9. The sweet smell of incense can make you feel good, but true friendship is better still. Great friends are faithful. They are interested in you, and they want the best for you. Paul encouraged us to be such friends. In Philippians 2, he said, don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and what they're doing. All of us need good, faithful friends. And we also ought to be such faithful friends. But that's only a start. For great friends also must be forgiving. Forgiveness is a central part of friendship. Proverbs 17:9 says this, "One who forgives an affront fosters friendship, but one who dwells on disputes will alienate a friend." Every strong friendship demands forgiveness. An unwillingness to forgive will ruin almost any friendship. I once read that in every marriage there is as much evidence of a person being a good spouse as there is of them being a bad spouse. So how are some marriages thought to be good? It depends on which evidence you want to focus upon. It depends in no small part upon forgiveness. The same is true in friendships. We want faithful friends, but if we want perfect friends, we will never have friends. Because friendship demands forgiveness, and it demands forgiveness because, quite frankly, none of us are perfect. Sometimes we are unrealistic in what we want from our friends. If we focus on all the little slights that we've experienced in life, we will never develop faithful friendships. Because friendship demands forgiveness. It demands forgiveness. Friendships are maintained because we trust the heart of our friend and overlook things that others might determine are offenses. We understand that everyone has a bad day, and some people have a lot of bad days in a row. We know that sometimes our friends are preoccupied. No one is at their best all the time. Truthfully, none of us are even at our best most of the time. We all make mistakes. And forgiveness and silence can save a friendship. Great friends forgive quickly and completely. Proverbs 19, verse 11, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." True friends will resolve their conflicts by forgiving and asking for forgiveness. Of course, this happens to be something which is fully in keeping with the teaching of Christ. It's funny how the Scripture seems to work together that way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." This is something we as believers in Christ ought to take to heart. We know that there are times when we offend one another, and we have a choice to make. We can seek to make things right, or we can ignore Scripture. Forgiveness is to be such a central part of the life of the believer that Jesus warned us that we cannot receive forgiveness from God until we forgive our friends' offenses towards us. That is what Jesus said when he taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." So far, so good. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Please come the day when there's perfect obedience to God. "Give us this day our daily bread." Please, I'd love to have my daily bread. And then he says this, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." He's not primarily talking about money here, by the way. The other translations, "Forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who have transgressed against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the glory forever." But then in the very next verses, Jesus says this, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now there, by the way, is ample motivation for us to be forgiving peoples. But then in verse 15, he says, this is from Matthew 6, If you do not forgive others their transgressions, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Given the lack of universal forgiveness within the Church of Jesus Christ, it seems to me that many people have taken an exacto knife to this passage of Scripture. They believe that they can be unforgiving with impunity. Great friendship, every great friendship, involves forgiveness. Every great friendship demands forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul asks an important question of believers. Why not rather be wronged? Why not just accept that sometimes people do and say really stupid things? Sometimes people do and say really hurtful things. Why not rather be wronged than destroy friendship? Isn't it worth it to forgive an offense rather than losing a friendship? Great friendships demand forgiveness because none of us are perfect. A final characteristic of great friendship is honesty. Since I'm working on alliteration, great friends are frank. That doesn't mean you have to have a gender change operation, but you're honest. You're straightforward. Proverbs 27:17 is instructive. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. It's an interesting thing. You know, I do some woodworking, and woodworking actually demands that you try to keep sharp on tools. And I've noticed something. When I take out my grinder and I'm going to sharpen a tool, sparks fly. When iron sharpens iron, there's friction. Sparks fly. But the result is a better blade. Great friends make one another better. Great friends believe in you and challenge you to be better. We all need such friendships. Friendships which encourage us to be the best that we can be. A true friend is someone who will tell you the truth, even if it hurts. Listen to how Proverbs describes this. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. A true friend is not merely someone who flatters you. A true friend is one who is more concerned about your growth than your ego. They want to refine you rather than flatter you. We all need someone in our lives to whom we can say, help me to see what I am blind to in myself. Help me to grow in my relationship with Christ. Help me to grow in my relationship with my spouse. Help me to be a better person. True friends, great friends, speak the truth to one another in love. They look beyond your faults or your mistakes, and they nudge you to do better and to be better. Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. A friend who is one who knows you as you are, understands where you have been, accepts who you've become, and still gently invites you to grow. Great friends are frank with one another. They speak the truth in love, always with our best interest in mind. They know when to hold their tongues, Proverbs 11:12, and they know how to speak their mind, Proverbs 24:26. They give wise counsel, which draws us out and makes us better. Proverbs 27:9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, but the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Way back at the beginning of time, God created man. And as he watched his creation, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he created a friend. Friendship is God's idea. He has given us ample instructions on what a great friendship entails. And so he sent his son as a friend. An example of what it means to be a friend. Jesus said in John 15, "You are my friends. I don't call you servants anymore. I have called you friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You are my friends." Jesus is our most faithful friend. He stands with us always, no matter what. He is the ultimate example of one who is always willing to forgive. And if we listen to him, he will frankly remind us of our need to pursue righteousness. Today, if you lack a friend, be one. Be the kind of person who chooses faithfulness, who chooses forgiveness, and who chooses honesty, who will come alongside another human being and love them as Christ has loved us. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you sent Jesus to be our friend. We thank you that he's patient and kind, that he's faithful and forgiving. We thank you for our friend Jesus. And we ask that you help us to become a faithful, forgiving friend, and that you would gift us with such friends in our life. Amen.